Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conan.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I'm bidding a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to today's edition of Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Conan, Dennis Dick with you this morning. We're talking tech reversed again. We'll talk Gilead. They had some news last night, a drug approved. We'll talk GameStop because they had some news and the stock is up this morning. They gave the people what they wanted. They made Ryan Cohen the chairman of the company. Our guest today is Buck Andrews, the co-founder of Inform. Speaking of which, today's show is also sponsored by Inform. Inform's enterprise news productivity tool is designed to enable you to perform thorough stock research by isolating the specific articles that are most impactful to your portfolio. Learn more, go to inform.info. The link is up on the screen there, inform.info. Joel, bring up those charts. Let's do it. Tell us how we're doing in the pre-market session.
Good morning, Spencer. Good morning, Dennis. Good morning, traders and investors. We're up a solid 13 and three quarters handles at 40.83.75. Crude, that's in the red by 23 cents at 59.53. Gold's at my magic number, up $8.60 at 17.50.20. Silver, Not over 26, but definitely over 25. That's up 19 cents at 25.45. And Bitcoin just kind of hugging this 55,000 to 60,000 range. Really doesn't want to go anywhere else. Good morning, Triple D, to you. Happy Thursday.
We got to start doing the Ethereum quote because I'm still interested in the Ethereum. Oops, I got you in the background too. I can hear you twice now. What's Ethereum at? Can we find that out?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, do you have a computer?
2002.
I want to see an Ethereum chart. See an Ethereum chart.
Now it's 2000.
I want to analyze the technicals on Ethereum. Okay. I want to buy Ethereum.
He wants an Ethereum chart? That's what he said.
I want an Ethereum chart.
Yeah, I'm getting it.
Joel's getting it. Bitcoin's old. It's about Ethereum now.
I'm getting it faster.
There's Ethereum, but that's only 20. Let me go a little bit farther because I know Triple D.
I don't see any charts. Ethereum chart. Rocket ship. Why was I not buying this last year? Whoops. What was it last year at the low? It was $100.
I'm
lost, Joel. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, look at this little Coinbase chart. Why don't you just buy Coinbase?
Wow,
yeah.
Rocket ship. Okay, well, maybe I'll hold off buying some Ethereum yet.
2000, key psychological level. We're right there.
What was it back in the summer?
Summer of 20?
Yeah, 200. It's up 1,000% last year or more.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Well, I'm glad I bought some Bitcoin. So it's like the trading in the Bitcoin for the Ethereum, but Bitcoin didn't go up that much. So I would have been
better
than
Ethereum. Here's June.
The Ethereum's got the use, though, with the NFTs, man. Oh, I picked the wrong one. I should have bought Ethereum. I got that pump
you
guy. Just buy Bitcoin. He's got 96% of his money in, and I should have bought Ethereum.
Are you gonna have some NFTs in your house?
Everything's going to be. I'm going to buy an NFT house and just live in the NFT house, eat NFT food, ride in an NFT car, drink NFT beer, and watch the NFT Oilers on Saturday night. That is what I'm going to do now. And you know what? In my NFT world, my sports team is always going to win. That's the cool thing about NFTs. You can create them how you want. If you have the crappiest team in the world and you cheer for the Buffalo Sabres, or you cheer for the Detroit Tigers, or you cheer for the Detroit Lions, in our NFT world, Joel, our sports team will always win. Let's create that, the NFT sports, where your sports team always wins and you can always be happy. I love it. Gave you guys billion-dollar ideas again.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot better than my call yesterday on Fastly, I'll tell you that.
Let's talk about tech.
I got stopped out. I tried 3-4 growth tech names, the Kathy names. Couldn't have picked a worse day for it because they pulled the rug out from it right off the hop. and they continued to go down. I've still had a couple of them. I didn't get stopped out on them all, but I got stopped out on three of them. Fastly stopped out. The old undercut and probably rally trick. So I just got burned on the undercut from Gil Morales. Now we'll see if it does the rally here. So maybe you want to buy my heat. Maybe it's the old undercut and rally trick. It could be the case. But, you know, stop's a stop. You got to get out when the getting's good. Take your small losses and stay in the game. So I cut with Fastly. I tried Space, S-P-C-E. Actually, I'm still in that one, I think. I don't think I got undercut in that one. But there were a couple other ones.
I have a theory.
Yeah, talk to me. I like
the Reddit guys got you.
I think they got me, the Reddit guys. They said, oh, Denny's going into Fastly, and he's talking about all these growth names and the Cathy stocks. Let's hammer the Cathy stocks.
Yep.
Yeah,
I saw the thread.
They didn't.
Yes.
They don't short stocks, I don't think, Joel. There's not a lot of guys shorting the knocking stocks down. They like to ramp up the shorts. That was the opposite of a short squeeze. That was a long squeeze for me. So anyways, those three, I put on like five swing trades. I got stopped out in, I think, three of them. I'm trying to figure out the other ones. I've already forgotten because I made over 100 trades yesterday. But it was definitely Fastly. I still have a couple of them. I don't want to mention them now because the Reddit guys will get me.
Well, no. If you have no position, what difference does it make?
No, I have.
Yeah, he still has a couple.
Okay.
We'll just not mention those.
Fair enough. All right. Were any of those trades ARK related? Cathy made some buys finally in the ARKX. I've been waiting for them to make some trades in their new space fund. They hadn't made any for a couple of days, I guess, since the fund launched, and they finally made a few trades last night. Let me bring up my email from the ARK trading desk. I'm going to scroll right past the ARK.
You bought like everything yesterday. I see 5,
yeah,
10, 15, yep, like 20 stocks. She bought like, well, 17 stocks and a few SPACs.
Yeah, I'm going to scroll right past all the other ones, go straight down to the X, bottom of the list. They bought a couple SPACs. They bought ACIC, and they bought SPFR.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was two more buys in the space fund. They bought Iridium, IRDM. And they bought RTP. Those are the four new buys in ARKX. I'm sorry, not new buys, but buys from last night. Like first-time transactions or additions, I should say, in the KX fund last night. By the way,
we're in a different market when you look at these stocks and even these SPACs, and there's just not very much pop at all. Not like Mark Chagan's saying she's becoming irrelevant. Not irrelevant, but definitely not as influential as she once was. I mean, IRDM is up 14 cents. If this would have happened 2 months ago, IRDM would be up $5. So you can just see how many people have been burned with Cathy stocks. I was trying to buy some Cathy stocks yesterday. I got burned in them too. So it's once bitten, twice shy on a lot of the Cathy names here. But ACIC, not really up in the pre-market. It's up a dime. We've got SPFR, and these SPACs just typically don't move. It's up 9 cents. RTP up 5 cents. So unbelievable from where we were. Even Palantir, she loaded the boat in Palantir again. How many shares did she buy at Palantir? Wasn't another million shares. She is just going to be eventually own all the shares. She will have, she's cornering the market.
She did buy a little over a million, 1,045,600 shares.
She can't stop buying Palantir. She just can't. Did anybody see the interview on CNBC this morning with the co-founder? He was talking lots of stuff, and the Palantir co-founder was on CNBC about a half an hour ago. The only thing was, never seen an interview like that. He never looked up at the camera. He was looking down the whole time. So I don't know, maybe his, like, where he was seeing the host, but wasn't where his webcam was. But he literally looked down the whole time. It was very weird. So yeah. Palantir gets a big 30-cent pop. Well, that's something. That's something. It's not the $2 pop she was getting when she was buying millions of shares before, but it's getting a pop. You still got the level. It tried to hold 2283, 2281. It's still holding on to those lows, 2273. So this was one that didn't take out from a couple days ago, the low. So that's good news. The bad news is there's still a ridiculous amount of overhead supply, and Cathy Wood pops are not like what they used to be.
I should mention there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about ARK yesterday, and this is an interesting quote. This is from a PM at ARK, Ron Renleggy, and here's what he said. he said he acknowledged the confusion around the ARKX exposure, like, you know, John Deere and stuff like that. And he said, when we're talking about space exploration and innovation, we define it as everything above the ground. If you are above the ground, you're in space. I had Andrew Channon from ProcureIM, who's got the UFO ETF on my ETF show yesterday. He was like, that is not space. Above the ground is not space, is what he said.
What in the heck are they talking about over there?
I don't know.
Holy man. Oh.
I should add.
I don't even know how to respond to that. We'll let Joel respond to that.
I should add. I'm still along the.
Well, deer is definitely above the ground. It works the ground, so that's why I guess deer is a key space exploration component because they work the soil, and that soil is definitely is the ground kind of. So I don't know. Maybe that doesn't.
Someone's got a farm in the moon, right?
Apparently they just have to farm the Earth with their space exploration because anything above the ground, is that what they said? Above the ground?
Yeah, anything above ground.
I'm in space, guys. Hey, basically, I'm above the ground. I'm standing on the ground. I'm in space. Oh, look at the beautiful view of the Earth we have from here. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
If you're not the subway, you're above ground.
All right, that's just completely stupid. I think I'm so unsatisfied with that answer. I have no idea what that person is even talking about. Okay. So I'm just moving on, and I don't think I even want to even look at that space fund again. Really how they're defining it, anything above the ground is space. That's just ridiculous.
Moving right along.
Hey, guys, you know, I'm just trying to get out of my county, out of my state. I'm not thinking about going to the moon or I don't know.
Well, they're not thinking about going to the moon anymore either, Joel, because right now you are in outer space, according to Kathy Woods.
Joel's on the ground, we think.
Oh, so we have to. So if I jump,
well, it could
though,
be.
Wait,
I guess we jump, would be space then, okay, to somebody so, on the moon. We would be outer space.
Joel is on the ground. To the best of my knowledge, Joel is on the ground right now.
So this might be one of our worst tangents
and then
ever.
We're in space.
Let's move on.
Everybody jump, and we'll all be in space at the same time. All
right.
I'm
going to move on to GameStop here only because there is actual news this morning, and the stock is up on an actual headline. Ryan Cohen is going to be the chairman of the board of GameStop, which is what the people have wanted.
That's what everybody knew was going to happen.
And it's happening.
I know. So it's exciting. It's up $8. It's a big pop. I mean, GameStop can go wherever it wants, completely disconnected from fundamentals, do whatever the hell it wants. It's random walk theory stock definition of the random walk theory. This random walk theory has so much more pull now than the efficient market hypothesis, taking you back to your behavioral finance and all your finance courses when you took them back in university. But random walk theory just says you cannot predict the movement of a stock based on anything because it moves completely random. This is the random walk stock. GameStop, random walk. So I try not to trade this thing at all because it's unpredictable.
A couple things here. I'll just give you some parameters from the I forgot. I'm not doing levels on GameStop.
we're done with GameStop.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right.
I just will say one thing. This at-the-market offering.
Yeah.
I think there's just a lot of stock out there for sale. So
it was like, what, 3 million shares?
Yeah, it was small. It wasn't like AMC going to cut the float in half, and then they rallied the stock anyways. So all these, everything
small. Okay. They're selling stock. I'd be selling stock. That's what it.
Everything in the world is just a mess. Like, it's just nonsense. Because did you see the tweet from yesterday? A sheet of plywood a year ago was $11. It's now $48. Yet they tell us there's no inflation. You know, here they are showing us all the stats that there's no inflation. We have problems because we have zero inflation. We need more inflation. The sheet of plywood went from $11 to $48 in a year. In a year. A 2x4, which is $2, is now $9 in Canada. And this is obviously everywhere. This is, you know, and obviously you can look at other things and say, oh yeah, that's only building supplies. I'm seeing inflation across the board in so many different things. And then you could even argue, I've argued for years, the product sizing.
So,
you know, where they don't bring up the price, they just make the stuff in the product smaller and smaller and smaller. I used to get this baby formula when Natalie was like a baby. and actually it was for Spencer because Natalie was breastfed, but the baby formula. And it was like, okay, so they designed, they said new, so I forget which company made it. It was some company made it, but it's a new design on the package. And it was all slick in design. And I looked, and they took it from 630 grams to 600 grams. And they kept the price the same. So that's the way they hide inflation too. They give you less product. But they say, oh, new design of a package. It's cool. We're saving plastic for the world. But we'll put 30 grams less, and they won't notice that. So we'll put 30 grams left. We'll increase the price 5% because we're putting 30 grams left on the 600. But we won't, you know, we'll just market it as new package, green eco, still same price. No, it's 30 grams left. You're lying to me.
So, you know what I'm kind of disappointed in, Dennis?
If somebody tells you, Dennis, I just want to, okay, go.
I'm kind of disappointed in your arbitrage skills.
Why?
How long do you know you've been building a house?
I bought lumber stocks back in July.
All right. Last year.
So I'm not completely. The one problem, which I didn't foresee, is I sold a little bit of them when they rallied up. So I sold too soon. But I did. I did go and buy a bunch of lumber stocks because I was like, I should have bought more and I should have held. So I still have some, but not enough. Not enough to offset the build cost. And this is why I'm probably upset too. I'm building a house. I've been talking about it for a little bit there, and obviously lumber, big piece of the house, and the prices are crazy. But all materials. My buddy telling me electrical cable, spool of this wire, electrical cable was going for $47. It's now $109 a year later. But we have no inflation, guys and girls. No inflation. Fed can keep lying to us all they want. There is inflation everywhere. If somebody tells you there's no inflation, stop listening to everything they're talking about, because they're either one, not paying attention, or two, not they're lying to you. And that's what Jerome Powell and the Fed is doing, completely lying to us by looking everywhere. They'll look to everywhere where they don't see prices going up. Home prices are just, and I don't know what they're doing in your neck of the woods, but around here, they've gone astronomical. They're just taking off. I'm hearing in Ontario, home prices year over year are up 30%. That's year over year. This is the biggest expense to a single person, but they won't include that in your CPI indexes because we don't talk about home prices. We don't need to talk about food and shelter and gas. You don't track those things. We track TVs because TV prices go down. So yeah, it makes everybody feel better about themselves.
Well, they're not going down anymore. There's a global shortage of semiconductors. Everything's going up.
Anyways, it's absolutely ridiculous. Either the Fed is, and I say I'm calling the Fed a liar, either they're very inept and not paying attention, or they just simply are trying to lie to us so they can try to keep rates low and they can justify keeping rates low. So you're getting murdered. This is why the stocks have a relentless bid. You're absolutely getting murdered by sitting in cash. Cash is just killing you. You know, if you were building a house like I was and you're sitting all in cash waiting for it, which a lot of it was, it's now costing you a hell of a lot more. The only thing saving you is the inflation of assets all around you. If you own places, you own real estate, you own property, you own things. My buddy bought a boat, used boat, 5 years ago, $10,000. He just sold it for $26,000. So it's like inflation, just people buying stuff everywhere. We are in the most inflationary environment that I have seen in a long time.
And the only answer is, like you just said, own assets.
Own assets.
Own assets.
Yep.
Crypto, stocks, whatever.
Yep. You gotta. You gotta protect yourself in that way. There, I don't know how else you can protect yourself. So you've gotta own some assets to protect yourself against inflation. Grandma sitting there with cash in her wallet or in her bank account, sitting in a T-bill at 1% or even less than that, getting the beats because inflation is rampant and it is everywhere.
Yep. All right. It is 8:20. Let's get to some other headlines here. Let's talk about, we've been talking a lot about value stocks the past few days, few weeks. Let's talk about Gilead here, which is a value stock. They had news out, was it last night? I think it was last night. Yeah. They got FDA approval for a drug that treats a very aggressive form of breast cancer. Good news for Gilead.
It's getting a pop. This is, you know, and I'm torn here because the pharma stocks, which I own a few of, have not really participated in the recent rally. But if you're going into full value, some of these pharma stocks are very attractive at some of these prices. I mean, you got Merck 76. What do you have the PEs all handy? I could just throw a bunch at you there. But I mean, Merck's got a 3.4% dividend. I'm assuming the PE is fairly low still. Pfizer, Gilead, Bristol Myers.
Yeah, so Gilead forward PE, I'm seeing 9.
Merck, 9 on Gilead.
Merck is 11. What'd you say, Pfizer?
Yeah.
Pfizer's 11. What else did you say?
Bristol Myers. Bristol Myers, like Kramer says.
That's 8.
8, 9, 11. We're in an inflationary environment. They're giving you these kind of earnings. There is some growth still there. I like the pharma. I'm sticking with pharma here. We still have an aging population. We still have needs. They have not participated at all. If we're going into the ultimate value trade, I don't know. Maybe it's coming off and maybe we're going to go back to growth. But I thought that could happen yesterday, and I would definitely pick the wrong day for that. But if you think value names eventually could get some life, these stocks are all dirt cheap. I own Pfizer. I own Bristol Myers. I own Merck. I don't own Gilead. I've always hated Gilead. I almost want to own it. Just because.
Remember when
it's
you were
going to
short
it at
60 and I talked you out of it? Remember? I
went, which one?
It hung out at 60 for a while. No. And we were thinking, oh, if it takes out 60, it's gonna
going to
go.
50. And then
and it never did. Up. How low did it get when it took 57? Out 57? It has a setup here. I mean,
oh, it went down lower than that. 56 it got to.
Yeah, 56, $4 worth of heat. You got a bunch of highs here at like 66, 75. But if this is probably like the ultimate stock not to buy on a breakout, you know, it, it's had so many false breakouts. So,
all of them.
Yep, all of them. So maybe, you know, you see all those highs there. You have three lower highs. It's trading up a little bit. That's a big area. Watch today; it will actually break out and start running. But getting a little bit of move, but boy, bunch of highs. This is gone all the way up to 67. Pretty major resistance.
I'm very torn on Gilead. Part of me wants to own just because it's dirty cheap, but then I'm like, I already own a lot of cheap pharma stocks. So I brought Bristol Myers the other day. So I think I'm down in it now. I was up in it. It took off for a few days there. It's back down. It's about, you know, I'm not going 100% pharma. It's just about having diversity through your portfolio, and I like value. So I think there's lots of value here in the pharma. Next. Oh, somebody asked AbbVie. Yes, I already own AbbVie. I've owned AbbVie since birth, meaning I've owned it since the Abbott spinoff. So I don't know what my cost basis is on that. It's a lot lower than where it is here. So, yeah, still own AbbVie. Love AbbVie.
Dennis, I'm curious if you saw what went on yesterday in the social media stocks, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest. I mean, Twitter and Snapchat trade much more closely than Pinterest does, but those two in particular, and all three, really had good days.
Yeah, they've all come back a long ways. Twitter, rumors overnight that they're buying Clubhouse, or they made an offer for Clubhouse.
Yeah, it doesn't appear like it. Bloomberg reported that Twitter has had discussions, but they're not active.
Yeah.
So, and I should note that Clubhouse's valuation has gone from $1.5 billion to $4 billion in 3 months.
Yeah, so I don't know if Twitter's coming and scooping them up here now, but it's up a little bit on that headline. Pinterest has had a ridiculous five-day move. I mean, like, unbelievable move. We went from $65 a week and a half ago, where it looked like it was in the gutter, back to $85 in 6 days. That's just a huge move. If you're buying Pinterest now, you are doing it backwards.
It's up again here. The last few times it got over $85, we're trading up $1.16. I don't know if that's much volume here, but I'd keep an eye on this $85 as potential resistance. You had a high right here at $85 before you fell off the cliff, right? Was that high at $85? Boom, $85.10, and then another high at that one's way up at $86.50. So you're getting up. You got a lot of this back. It's just, man, just like over $85. Hasn't held up there for too many days and actually closed above it. So we'll see what happens today.
And what was the other one, Snapchat?
Yeah, together.
We looked at this.
Had a big rally too. These have all rallied. So again, the name of the game for me is buy the dip, sell the rip. This thing is ripping already. Chasing in this market has not paid. We were in the chasing market for a long time. Right now, unless you're chasing SPY, SPY goes up every day no matter what. It seems like that's what my other trader buddy was saying to me. He was like, why do we even bother trading? Why don't we just load up margin SPY? Because it just goes up every day. It is like just even when we were tanking, SPY was hardly going down. The rotation was keeping it up. I mean, I guess, Joel, that's why me and you keep majority of our network in indexes, so we don't have to worry about it. But SPY, I believe, is the biggest holding in my long-term portfolio. I believe it always has been, and I believe it always will be. SPY, unbelievable, continues to go. Just up every single day. I mean, eventually we're going to get some type of sell everything market where it's going to pull back. But wow, SPY up every day.
I mean, yeah.
Hard to argue.
It's hard. It's really.
Why not just buy the thing, the simple thing that goes up every day? Because you know why? Because people don't want to make 0.5%.
It's so funny because for six years, people were like, well, what's going to happen when the FANG stocks stop going up? Because they will stop going up one day. And well, they did stop going up late last summer, fall. Yeah. And it didn't really impact the overall market at all.
No, they bought everything else.
I just bought every other stock that wasn't big tech.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just puts a damper on that theory as far as like rotation out of tech is going to kill the market. It hasn't for now. So maybe it'll be something else that takes us down. But maybe, I don't know.
We're back into that market that we had for years, though, where it is being driven by the big five. I mean, Apple, great day yesterday. Good day this morning, driving the market here again. Amazon quietly has just tacked on 300 points, 10% in 7 trading sessions. Microsoft breaking out new all-time highs. I own all three of these stocks. $252 here this morning. Again, that's from Josh back during the COVID crisis. Josh came on the show. Jason Raznick's son, and said he liked Microsoft. And I bought it that day off the Josh pick. It was $151. It's now 252. Josh, 101 points from you, buddy. If I could ever get across the border, I'm going to take you out for ice cream because that was a hell of a call by you, Josh. I don't know if Jason's listening, but
I doubt he's
called Josh.
I doubt he's listening. But Apple, for what it's worth, came out with a thing last night. There is going to be some sort of a delay or disruption in their iPads and MacBooks because, as you all know by now, there is a global shortage of semiconductors, and it's impacting every single electronic, cars, laptops, phones, everything. It's the oil of the future. So there's going to be a lot of delays, I would suspect, in the coming months as we work through this shortage of chips. So that was on the Apple front. I want to go to Box quickly because there was a headline on Box. They announced a strategic partnership with KKR. So KKR is investing $500 million in Box, and they intend to repurchase up to $500 million in common stock through a self-tender offer. I guess that's the same thing. But
I got to see details of this. Anyway, the stock's down 8%, so obviously this is – good news, but it's not good news.
It's been moving. It was up, then it's down, and it's sort of off those lows. So 26, 21. Now,
wow, if you were keeping an eye on the daily chart, I mean, holy mackerel. 26.34 is where it spiked to. And look at this high right here.
After hours, man. Spiked on this originally.
26.47. Look at that, man. What? And it went... You only got one shot at that, and it came back down. So let's see what happened. Spike low. They overshot both ways on this thing. Look at yesterday. I don't know. What are these lows right here? If you like to maybe, wow, it's under the three lows at 23. Let's see here. It's under the 22.62 low. I don't know. 22. I see 22.09 as low if this thing continues. I don't know, kind of firmed up. I think you kind of overshot on the upside and overshot on the downside. I bet you perhaps this will firm up and keep an eye on the open, see if they scoop this up off the open.
I'm looking for other headlines and such. There was a couple of ratings that I thought were interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Are ratings?
Yeah, we haven't looked at ratings in forever.
So these people called analysts, sell-side analysts, and they give ratings, typically bullish ratings, usually bullish ratings, so that their firms can then do business with those companies. Who was it? Bank of America named Salesforce and Workday its top picks on growth. CRM, WDAY are Bank of America's top picks this morning.
Come off the low, CRM. I've had it. I've been in and out of it a couple times. Workday, I had to, and I sold that just horribly, so I never got it back. I kind of want to own the CRM, but then I kind of, both of these stocks are kind of just in the middle of nowhere. Hard to get on the bull or bear train.
It's interesting, though. This was you're Which back one? At the yeah, you're back yeah. at the high of the move here. I don't know. This one looks okay. 3 days, you know, it had the big rally up, really didn't give it back, and I don't know. This could be one little breakout.
You got
breakout.
That big ugly blue line though, where old support becomes new resistance on that top right chart. I don't like that one. That looks like it's bumping up against the ceiling, and it's not gonna. Maybe it's gonna bump itself through.
I mean, you know, resistance is resistance till it's taken out. And it's interesting that was old support too. It's still. I kind of feel like it's who do they pay up for?
Slack.
It seems like the street just overall just wasn't too happy with that purchase.
No. Wait, Slack is still on the board, I think, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Hasn't been finalized the deal yet. It's coming, though. It's going to get pushed through eventually here.
Speaking of deals, the AMD Xilinx deal, I guess it was voted to go through by shareholders yesterday. They had the shareholder vote. So they approved that acquisition. I think, what is it? This was like a cash in stock deal, right? I recall it being a little bit complicated.
I don't have the ratio in front of me either. I just know they somewhat track each other.
The AMD Xilinx deal. I don't.
Someone sent me a message about that, and Dennis said there was just some little antitrust in there too. So maybe that's why you're not getting the full premium.
I have to go price it out. It's actually I do a lot of deals. I don't never trade that one that much. The AMD Xilinx. I've traded a few times, but I don't know why I should trade that one more.
Hey, we got a new one in here. Daniel Spencer, he wants to know, or Triple D, what do you mean by a fade trade?
He would drive to Detroit and buy us a beer if we asked Dennis what a fade trade is.
Oh, I like beer. So yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I'll take Miller High Life.
I know, you Canadians, man.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
I go to the Miller Light.
I thought you only drink Labatt or whatever. Labatt.
I don't know. I'm a Miller Light fan. Always. So, okay, fade trade, just you're fading the move. So, meaning that, you know, you got a big rally in a stock, it's going up, fading it means I'm selling into the move. You could also say fading it. It's more on rips than dips, but, you know, when it's dipping, you could say, okay, I'm fading that by buying it. I wouldn't say it that way. Some people do, though. I say typically when I'm saying I'm fading the move, it's usually you got a lot of people buying, you have a lot of strength in a stock. You know, for instance, like Pinterest, you know, it's just been ripping. I'm fading that. I think it's went too far. It means I'm selling into that strength because I think the move is now overdone. That's what I mean by fade trade.
All right.
I don't know if I defined that well or not, but yes, I like PBR as well. I do like PBR.
You did. It's being contrarian, right? It's selling.
Going against the move. It's selling. Me and Joel are contrarians at heart. We really are. Yeah. You know, I've never been, you know, maybe it's why, you know, my best portfolio has probably underperformed the market in the last 5 years because I'm not a big Momo guy. I'm more of a contrarian saying, that move's overdone. I'll fade that. So, but in the last couple of months, fade trade's working a lot better than the Momo trade. So Momo trade is a basically opposite to the fade trade. Momentum trade is, okay, stock's going up. If it's going up, it's going higher. It's going up, it's going higher. Fade trade is basically taking the opposite side. It's a contrarian trade where you're fading the strength, selling into it.
Let's do one more and then we'll get Buck on. Let's do earnings. Let's do Constellation Brands, ST Zebra, out this morning. Earnings per share, $1.82 versus $1.55. Sent estimate.
That's good.
Revenue of $1.95 billion versus $1.87 billion. So they beat on their earnings. They beat on their revenue. How is STZ doing?
Not good. I guess it was all priced in. All the good news priced into this puppy because the stock is getting smacked around this morning. It's down $7. You got some support in here, but it's hard to catch the falling knives on earnings because sometimes you just don't know how ugly they can get. I always like to wait day after, let it stabilize, find some strength to that low of the move. 225 needs to hold that, but below that it gets a little bit uglier. So 225 critical to hold.
Where do you see? You see a 225 in there? Yeah, I see more 226.
Well, 225, 69. I didn't. So I guess if I go back to my grade one rounding, you would be right at 226.
Yeah, I see pair. I don't know what platform you're looking at. I see a 572 low and a 628 low. So still a buck away from there. See if it gets there. You did get there in the just in the pre-market. So you did buy buyers there the first time. But the problem is if you take that out, boom. Your next daily low comes in at 21.78. But man, look at that. Look at there's some smart selling going on there ahead of the report. Look at that 235 area in five of the last eight sessions, man. There was someone working out of a piece there. Good job ahead of the report. S&P still up 12 here at 40.82. Kind of a quiet pre-market session here on this Thursday.
All right, let's bring on our guest today, Buck Andrews, the co-founder of Inform. Buck, we haven't spoken to you in a couple weeks. How did the end of the quarter treat you? Oh, wait, you're on mute, though.
Buck!
There we go. Hey, guys.
Hey, how we doing?
Good.
How did the end of the quarter treat you?
Well, I'm in the back of the market with both feet, so you know it's has been pretty good. That like technology test down at the ARK test like last week held up pretty well, so I got back into a couple of ARK funds.
Really?
What ones are you in?
K and W.
The ARKK and the ARKW.
Yeah, they trade.
They're holding on.
Yeah, they're holding on. So you know, they were down 35%, right? And that double test, they held in down there. So I'm kind of thinking, you know, I think that the market's probably going to pull these guys up as opposed to them pulling the market down just by the action in the other indices. And the Treasury started to stabilize. So I guess the $180 billion a month that they're throwing in there is, you know, put a floor on the 10-year and the 30-year. And you know, 35% down, you got to start looking, right?
So what's the play here?
I'm in both of those, and I'll use my entry level, just above the entry level as a stop. I won't let it turn into a loser, kind of the old trading. You know, don't let your winners turn into losers. we learned that on the floor, right, Joel?
You bet.
Yeah,
I still do it sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm in the indices because the indices, it's hard to keep up with the indices here. So I'm in the spiders and the Qs, and I trade those through the futures. My favorite stock that I've been mentioning on this program has got a fire under it with big volume, Greenbox. I don't know if you guys watched that one the other day, but I've been touting that one here for a while on the show.
That's GBOX, right?
Yeah, it's GBOX.
Yeah, great call.
Big volume. Yeah. Think of this stock like this. Think of like all the stocks that are out there that go public, and all the value is already taken out of it by the venture companies. You know, you have so much value, but by the time they hit the public market, they're multi-billion-dollar companies. This one did not have that. You know, this one is a startup. It's kind of like getting in at the venture level.
Yeah.
They're just getting started. They reported their number. The stock held up on the earnings number. So I like that. It's kind of based out. And then a couple of days later, they announced that they were increasing their projections of processing volume by double. And they said by at least double. So what that at least means that, you know, they left in the opportunity to increase it again and again throughout the year. So the stock took off on large volume that day. And then it's held in here pretty well at this 19 level, came down to like a 17 and change yesterday and came right back up and tested the high at 20. And is kind of hanging out in here. So it looks like it's finally getting some sponsorship. I like this long term. I think the company is just getting started. It's a blockchain company with blockchain processing, and I think it's in the right space, and I think it could be a big growth company.
I was gonna ask just a great call by you on the show there. I think this thing was 12 or 13 bucks when you were talking about it. I remember you talking about it a week and a half ago. Wish I would have bought some with you there. Did not, forgot about it, but great call.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. And the other one that has performed really well, which I did not mention, is LRCX, LAM. It's had a big move. That one actually, you know, I follow one of the newsletters, and one of the newsletters had that as one of their top picks. And started watching it then. And it came down for a while, that newsletter, whenever they would report. You can guess who it is. Everything they would report would pop, and it was a good short. But as the market started to turn, some of these stocks had pretty big moves off their bottoms. We're going to put up in our system like we did with you guys. If you look over at the watch list portion, we have something called...
I noticed that you've got your own pre-market prep watch list.
Yeah, so that's a community list. We're going to break these out for community lists. So whenever you guys talk about something, if you want to throw it up there, it will have the entry level, and you can see how that stock has performed. Like, for instance, if somebody mentioned Microsoft, last year, you could put that in. You can see how that stock had performed. If you go to the community list, you'll see that I had some of these are pretty good. So you can see the LRCX TMF. You can guess who that is. And you'll see that I've got Greenbox in there.
I see Vuzi. That's a Mitch Hotch favorite. He's been talking about that one, but he hasn't bought it yet.
Yeah,
Mitch, there's your Vuzi. Shout out to you. I see John Deere.
I literally was going to talk about it in like 10 minutes. So that's what I like to hear, Buck.
Yeah. So what we're starting to do, we're starting to add all the like social aspects into this product.
Yeah.
There's thousands of newsletters that come into my mailbox every day, and some of them are worth noting, And so if we see stuff that's worth posting up there, and if the community sees stuff worth posting that comes into your newsletters, please post them. Let people see them. So I think it's a good way to share, the knowledge that's flooding our mailboxes.
Yeah. And again, Buck Andrews is the co-founder of Inform. It's inform.info. Buck, anything on your radar for the week as far as like catalysts, be the macro or micro, individual news events that you're watching for, or any other trades that you're thinking about making but haven't made yet?
You know what? I am at this juncture, I'm kind of sitting tight with my portfolio. I'm on a sit on the hands and just watch. Sometimes once you have your full positions, it's better just to step back and not mess with them. My wife is always telling me, do not sell that green box. Do not sell that green box. Do not trade green box.
They're smarter than us. Joel, same thing. Lisa's don't sell. She's right.
Yeah.
And maybe my wife needs to talk to me more on my trading because I already sell way too early. So she doesn't get involved with mine. So maybe she should be, because maybe I'd be able to hold on to some of these gainers better like you guys, because I already sell everything way too early.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I like to trade around them, which also can be a problem because, all of a sudden you sold something and it doesn't come back down to where you thought it could.
Yeah, and it's gone.
And you're paying taxes on it.
Well, Buck, I'm just curious.
She's gone.
Buck, because you also leave your computer and, like, you fish a lot, right? So when you're out fishing, obviously not in front of your screen, you're not in front of the markets. How do you leave your portfolio like that? Or like, how do you utilize stops, or you go home flat, or what?
No. See this.
Okay. Okay.
Our product has got a great mobile application.
Okay. So you look
at your long-term portfolio on your phone when you're out away
fishing. Yeah.
You
do? I watch my phone all the time because I like to watch the price action of where the stocks are.
You're relaxing with your fishing rod, I guess so. You're just sitting there with your fishing rod. You can look at your stocks.
Actually, if I could have done the show from the phone, I would have done it out on the boat.
You can.
you can. I suppose.
How can you fit all this stuff in your long-term portfolio on your phone?
Because if you look at our product, you can put as much stuff
in all the
you
different
want
accounts that you have things in. I mean, that's impossible. Just don't look at it. Just let it go.
Once again, inform.info. You can go there and do that.
Yeah. Bucket's bogged
down your servers if I put my long-term portfolio.
Hey, one other thing I wanted to point out to you guys when you were talking about momentum and talking about fading. There was one business school class on finance where the guy said, somebody asked about technical indicators, and he said the only technical indicator that has proven to have any statistical meaning is momentum.
So
think about that. Buy the trend, as they say in the trend, your friend.
Your trend, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are big believers in trend trading here as well.
Right. So momentum. Momentum is the only concern. The trend, you know, is trend is your friend. Keep it. So Microsoft making new highs, right? I own that one. I own Facebook making new highs.
You like them when they're making new highs.
Yeah, I'd love it. Greenbox making new highs, you know, and watching the ARK funds to make sure they don't bite me. And long
you're being S&Ps, careful on those ones.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, down, as I said, down 30%, 35%. You know, they start easing up. You're going to wish you owned them, right? I mean, they will come back into favor.
Name of the game is buy the dip. So, yeah. I mean, this is a nice dip to get in there. And I was trying to get down dirty in a little bit of her positions yesterday, but maybe a little bit too early because I got stopped out on some stuff. But anyway,
that's easier said now, not as easy said a week and a half ago. But, you know, that's.
Yeah, that you know, it if you look at the chart of those guys, it was consolidating down there when it went down to test that bottom and had 3 days of consolidation. If you pull up ARK, you can see it. And that when it broke through that consolidation, that's when I added to the position.
All right. Buck Andrews is the co-founder of Inform. As I said, inform.info. Buck, always a pleasure. Go catch some fish.
Hey, great to see you guys.
All right.
Thanks, okay. Buck.
I want to answer a question from a downtown Chris Brown. He asked me about, like, when I identify resistance, I see something in an area. I'm not looking so much at, like, the volume, and I'm not looking at the open book. I just, you know, nowadays, it used to be easier with, you know, the open book, and you can look, and there used to be more volume. But I think traders, investors have got a lot smarter now. And I just, like, looking at this, I talked about this 75 area for a long time. And it was like two or three times it was up in that area. Same thing. So it's just more the times that it hits. I'm not really looking at the volume. If it's a super thick stock, maybe you can go to New York Book. But it's maybe like ST Zebra here, Constellation Brands. I mean, there was so much stock in that at 235 level. They weren't showing a million at 235. They let it get it up a little above, a little bit below, and they look for the average price. So it's more sight than worrying about big volume.
All right, it's 8:48. I know there's a bunch of questions from chat.
Ticker time.
You don't always get to all of them.
12 minutes of ticker time?
Yeah, I want to do a whole show ticker time.
Maybe that's
one day we'll do a whole show just ticker time. The entire hour session is just tickers. Pounding them out.
We've never
60
done that.
Stocks in 60 minutes. I want to do that. We'll call it 60 minutes. That's a good name for a show.
Yeah, no one would care about that. Good name for a
show, Dennis. What we can do is the next time there's like a long weekend or whatever, or like a really quiet market day, like whether it's the Friday before Memorial Day or whatever, we can do that. And there's not going to be any news. We'll just do the whole show of ticker time. That being said, though, like unless you guys had more stocks on your list to discuss, which I mean, it's a pretty quiet morning out there. So
it is kind of quiet.
It is pretty quiet.
Calm before the buying storm. All right.
All right.
Let's go.
Here we go. Here we go. PayPal.
It's been a couple days since I've looked at it. I'm assuming it's bounced back with the market. It has 260. Tough one. Passing to Joel. Passing to Joel.
Trading up in the pre-market. Right, it just hit 260 there. I mean, I wouldn't want to be short. It's had a 3-day run. I'm not, you know, let's see. If I like to see it go up over 260, maybe pull back, come back. Oh, it's near the high of the session, so that's not bad. It looks like it's breaking out here. I wouldn't fade it. I'd love to get it closer to in yesterday's range or closer to the close, but it's had a nice run. It's got a long way to go back to get 50% of the move. So looks like it's off the mat, PayPal.
Man, I've mentioned this before, but I have a bias towards stocks that we don't get asked about all the time. And here's one, Waste Management, WM. This thing is at all-time high. Value. Long garbage.
Yeah, long
I mean,
garbage.
How could you go wrong? Long garbage.
I don't know.
Need a pullback. Love the stock. Decent dividend, 1.74%. Need a pullback. I can't chase it up here. Would love, for whatever reason, this gets back to 125, then I would strike. I mean, if it keeps going from here, I missed it.
What we just got done talking about, we love stocks at new highs.
No, I know, but I hate chasing. So I feel like I'm chasing. I like it when they're like 2 days ago, if you were to ask me waste management, I'd be like, oh, it's kind of bumping up and standing ready to go now, it's starting to move. But I don't know. There is a trend. If you want to just trade the trend, take your Jeff Mackey purple crayon, draw that very steep line.
Yeah, that's a steep one.
110 to 132 is a big move on a value name. This isn't like a growth name. This is garbage name. Literally garbage. So, I mean, this is a big move. 20 points in a month. I feel like I'm chasing it. Next.
This is the only company where it's not insulting to say these guys are garbage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Maybe go to a value one that hasn't had that big a move, CVS. I guess it has.
Been waiting. I've been waiting for this one. WBA has run. CVS has run. I do have a small position in this. It has not got the love. The dividend is okay, 2.68%. I'm just kind of, I don't know. I've been waiting on it. So this has just not went, though.
Two things.
I kind of like it, but.
Technically, boom. I mean, it's bumping up here. It's trying to break out, right?
That's what I kind of like it.
You know, it potentially, I mean, this is major resistance here, 76.5. So I don't know if you want to play a breakout. But, and I don't know where, like, their revenues come from. I know they don't sell the smokes there anymore. Well, but
I think we know where the revenue comes from. It's a drugstore.
Well, also the stuff that they, you know, the shaving cream and all that stuff like that. And the shelves are at my Walgreens are looking empty. I think one of two things. I'm like, people aren't going away. They're not traveling, so they don't need to go get their travel size.
They're going to be traveling more, though.
I don't know. What's the dividend? It might break out here. It looks like it's ready.
I'd rather be long than short.
Yes, exactly. It looks like a breakout.
Okay. Keep in mind, guys. We've got to keep under a minute. That's a vaccine play. It's a vaccine play.
I guess. I mean, the vaccine is free. So,
but it gets you into the store.
Yeah, it gets you spending money. Yeah.
Gets you into the store. You're going into your, I'm going to go get my vaccine, going to Walgreens, going to CVS. I might buy some other stuff.
I guess. All right. On the travel front, what about Trip? Trip Advisor here. This one is interesting. It's sort of bunching up a little bit.
Ooh, tough stock because it's such a move, too. I mean, Trip has went the ultimate reopening stock.
Yeah,
from 30 to 60 in a month and a half. Now you've consolidated some of that move, but it got way overdone. You still have the trend, though. So the trend's your friend, and you're kind of there at that trend line. So I'd say as long as it's above 50, bulls are in control. Below 50, ugly. So if you're in this thing, I'd stop myself up below 50.
A little bit tighter. I mean, I've seen a range from like 52.70 to 57.50. That's been persisting. I mean, you had these outlier, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days. So let's see. Right now, it's the bottom of that little range. You see the top of the range here. I would not like to. I play a little closer to the belt. I don't like to see it taking out the low from yesterday because then you work your way into this green bar. So see if it stays in the trading range.
All right, Take Two, been one of these. Actually, I've been seeing some activity in Take Two, just chatter about it, but like seems like there's some buyer demand. But it was one of those growth stocks got way overdone, came off those highs.
Ooh.
Chart looks identical to ATVI, really. You know, thoughts on Take Two?
I'm long it, been long it, plan on staying long it. If it was on for a trade, it's been a pretty good move. I think, you know, I'd probably wait for a pullback to buy it at this point because it's had a pretty good move from the last week and a half, 167 up to 183. But I still love the story here, and I think it's best in breed.
Yeah, those two highs look a little closer together than I thought they were, but they're not. 80. Oh, wait. Wrong chart. They are 185. That's all you got to care about. 185, 185.06. That was your high yesterday. 185.29, the high the day before. I mean, if you want to play it for a breakout, boom, above 85. Your next daily high comes in at 188.20. Matching lows, too, on the downside. If you're worried about support. Look at that trade to range. Not quite an inside day on the outside, tight on the downside. So, either way, break out above 185 or below 182.50.
Let's do them under 30 seconds.
All right. Someone's asking about FireEye. They had a headline last night. They announced that John Waters. I don't think that John Waters is rejoining the company.
Isn't he a singer?
Not that John Waters. Rejoining the company as the president and COO. This one got the pop on the SolarWinds. I think it was the SolarWinds hack, right? Back in December, and it's slowly and steadily giving it back.
Concerning Candle and CyberArk, concerning Candle, a little bit in FireEye, less pronounced. Don't like the Candle from yesterday, so I'm not buying it.
Range bound, last four sessions.
All right. Oh, we're going quick now.
We're trying to go quick.
I like it. I like it. Okay. Oh, my God. Dell.
Ooh, I screwed this one up royally. I kept saying how Dell was a value trade, value investment, because you're getting the holdings in the VMware for cheap, cheap, cheap. And I sold it when it had a move from like 50 to 70, and now it's 90, and I'm like kicking myself. So still like Dow, I'd be a buyer pullbacks.
Oh, man, I wish I could draw the trend line right here, but this is awful steep trend line.
Yeah, it's been a little bit too far now.
Yeah, too far. Maybe I'd be interested in 80 or something like that, but I'm not chasing it up here.
All right, fuel cell, we get asked about this one all the time. Fuel cell, we get asked all the time.
Plug Power, Ballard Power, Fuel Cell, all in the same group. Plug has been unplugged. It has hurt the whole group.
Hey.
Ballard Power, BLDP, which is the Canadian one, it's come off significantly. The only thing good is you do have some support, $30 at your level on Plug. So if you're trading your Fuel Cell, keep an eye on Plug. It is your leader. FCEL needs to hold its own low of the move, 1155. So, but again, these have come off significantly.
What was the accounting day?
That was Plug. Well, yeah.
When he said like we're going to restate that next 37 years of earnings.
Yeah.
When was that? That was back
March 16th, I think.
Yeah, it was March 16th.
Yep. Gap down, and they have not. That goes to the whole thing. When they start talking accounting issues, hit the sell button.
Hands off.
Hit the sell button.
Good memory on that, Dennis. Damn. It was me.
No,
Dennis is
Nate.
Dennis just
looked at the chart.
Okay, all right.
He don't remember. He doesn't even remember what he had for breakfast.
I know. That's why I said. So, but I retract my compliment.
Lorraine Becker says I listen to you guys every day.
Okay.
And she wants us to do RVP.
RVP, not one I'm familiar with.
Retractable technologies. I don't know this. Was this a SPAC, Mitch?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
No, it was not.
It doesn't have a SPAC type of chart. I just see something around 10. I was like, oh, is there 10 support? 10 is support on all stocks. You can write this down on page 20 of our thing. 5, 10, 15, 20.
All resistance. All resistance.
Yeah, $10. So $10 is good support. It's been hammered. We'll see what happens at 10. Needs to hold 10. Trend is awful, though. Awful trend. Ugly downtrend.
Yeah, I don't know what about this 2,400 shares that printed at 11. But keep an eye out, Lorraine, because what you have here is you have 1, 2, 3, 4 lower highs. So I don't know if this 11, but if it breaks and you have 1, 2, 3, 4 lower lows and you have 1, 2, 3, 4 lower closes. So if you break that trend, yeah, maybe got a chance. The monthlies are telling you there's support down here too as well.
I'm grabbing one Skills.
I was going to go there. We've had two people mention Skills.
Yeah, I saw them all.
Skittles.
Big ramp, blow off top up to 45. Now it's been hammered. We know old SPACs have support at 10. Nobody wants to hear that when it's 18. The trend is still ugly. Needs to get above 20. Needs to get some momentum going. CCIV in the same. You know, we thinking CCIV might eventually start to get some life. It just doesn't seem to get it. So I'm throwing that in the same camp. Right now, Skills isn't paying the bills.
Skills is not paying the bills. That's a good one. Absolutely no upside until this clears 20 bucks. Yep. I'd see a bunch of highs there.
I don't want to own it unless it's above 20.
Yep, exactly.
Let's see if we can do one more here. Let's just see.
We got some new names in here. Do one some for someone new.
That's so hard because there's so many and they come
to because people keep changing their names when just I get mad at them.
Just grab one. NUE for a short. Paul wants to know.
I own NUE, so I still own NUE. The chat's supposed to tell me when I'm supposed to sell this thing. I wanted to sell it at 70. It's now 80. I don't know. When I sell NUE.
I gave you what to follow, and I don't believe you didn't follow it. I told you the old time closing high was 78.75. There was a couple lows in that area. I said, don't worry about it until it closes below 78.75. It never did. And now my new number for Triple D is 80.39. I don't care about the old time high is right there is 80.97. So you want to see a close above 80.39. It's kind of looking.
But it didn't yesterday.
It better make a move soon, Triple D, or this is going to turn.
I'm tired. The reopening trade getting a little bit tired.
Look at X.
But what? There's a lot the of steel. Steel.
Infrastructure. I got to buy X.
Infrastructure.
Oh, Dennis, look at that X chart. You're hitting a button right now in NUE. Look at that X chart.
I'm going to give it to you.
Look at X.
It's pulled back. Nice pullback to buy. I actually don't mind the X chart.
Okay. Excellent. All right, buy more in UE.
As they say. All right, that'll be a wrap for pre-market prep. Thanks to Buck Andrews once again today's show. Sponsored by Inform. Go to in4m.info. Please remember, all the information from our show, from every show, is meant to be used as informational purposes only, not for investing or trading advice.